Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to NFL Live. We are just 9 days away. 9 days. Wait, let me get there. Okay, away from the NFL draft. We're really excited. This is why I can't have nice things, by the way. A lot coming your way today on the show as we will tell you why Desmond Ridder, the quarterback, is flying up those draft boards. Dan's got a great tape for you coming your way. And you see everybody right here. We got Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Adam Schefter, and Todd McShay with us as well. Dan and Todd are still hiding. Let's get the big reveal here. Oh, I was going to leave Dan out. There they are. Todd, I could see you behind the curtain there, and we're all ready to go. On that note, Marcus, what are you most excited for with the draft next week?
Oh, is it clearly not obvious? Defensive ends being talked about going 1, 2, and 3 in this NFL draft. It's about time, y'all. It's been a long time sitting up here talking about the NFL draft and listening about quarterbacks and wide receivers and offensive tackles. We got Aiden Hutchinson. We got Trayvon Walker. And we got Kayvon Thibodeau. Who and where would they go?
I want to see what the New York Giants do. Their owner, John Mara, came out this offseason and said they've done everything they can to screw up Daniel Jones. They have the 5th and the 7th pick. Do they trade Saquon Barkley? Do they dive all in and finally give Daniel Jones the protection that's needed? Also, do they get him a couple more weapons to at least give him his best chance to show he's their future franchise quarterback?
So two of the most fascinating players in the draft are Kayvon Thibodeau, who you see here making quarterbacks like miserable, and then, of course, Derek Stingley Jr. Both of these players, to me, have all-pro upside, but there's so much smoke around them dropping the draft because of concerns about declining production, injuries, etc. All I'll say is this. If they do fall, some team is going to get an incredible steal.
I want to see this deep wide receiver class. Where they go in the first round? We had 6 2 years ago, 5 a year ago. Could we have 7 this year? It starts with Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, Drake London, USC. Jameson Williams is moving up now because his injury projection. Chris Olave from Ohio State. After that, you've got Jahan Dotson, Penn State, Treylon Burks from Arkansas, and maybe Christian Watson from North Dakota State.
And Todd, every team will have to decide whether they want to draft one of those wide receivers or rather they would take those picks and deal them for a veteran like Deebo Samuel or A.J. Brown or Terry McLaurin or D.K. Metcalf. Each of those teams will have a decision to make. Young talent or pricier, proven talent. That'll be one of the subplots of this draft.
Yeah, Marcus, when you look at A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, that trio of wide receivers, which one of them stands out from the group when you evaluate their worth? Who is that for you?
It's Deebo Samuel, Boogie, because he does so much for this team. And not only losing the production, you. But you have the potentially you lose what you do schematically. We all know Kyle Shanahan likes to run the football, but Deebo Samuel became the calling card. When you needed a play, when you needed to have the most utmost confidence with whatever player on your team with the ball in their hands, that became Deebo Samuel. We talked about the injuries to this backfield. Well, guess what? Deebo Samuel went and did some time at running back. You needed him on the outside. You needed him in the slot. His ability to break tackles and make things happen on the short and intermediate routes, he's a scheme change type guy. Because you have to figure out ways to get him the football. And my concern is if you don't get this done, how much different does it look?
Ooh.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll say I would pay them all. I really don't understand the thinking right now behind this urge to trade away top wide receivers. Like, unless you're capped out like Green Bay was or paying a quarterback a ton of money or you're in full rebuild mode, these are the sort of players you pay. Sure. They're amongst the top players at their position in the NFL. They are all 26 years old or younger, and as enamored as we are with this deep wide receiver class, the odds of any of them turning into the next A.J. Brown or Terry McLaurin are not high. It's not a sure thing. I think the bird in hand is the one you want to pay. I don't know if that expression really translates. And I would absolutely
Where's the one in the bush?
Keep them all because of where these teams are.
Well, listen, San Francisco wants to pay Deebo Samuel, but Deebo Samuel was the one who scrubbed the 49ers logos off his social media page. Deebo Samuel was the one that essentially basically made it known he wanted to move on. San Francisco would pay Deebo Samuel today, tomorrow, the next day. It's not hard to figure out what the contract would look like. We've seen some of the top numbers in the league. This, I think, right now is Deebo Samuel not wanting to get a deal done. It's not San Francisco not willing to do the deal. The 49ers are ready. Deebo Samuel is the one that has put a halt to everything for right now.
Yeah, I think the chances these guys get traded are the same as me going this segment without mentioning how good Marcus Spears looks.
Oh,
the boy lost some weight.
Yeah,
you're looking like Idris Elba on television right now. 37
so
pounds,
slim.
Man. Look good.
Looking good.
We're so proud.
You look good, brother. That's the nicest thing I'll ever say to you.
Thank y'all so much.
I don't think any chance that these receivers get traded. I think they're too important to Mina's point, their age as well. Yeah. But if you're a team like the Indianapolis Colts, you better be trying to make those calls. The Colts have had a great offseason, but I was looking into their wide receiver group. It is the least productive NFL wide receiver group in the league. Their number one and number two receiver combined have 146 career catches. Cooper Kupp last year had 145. Their number two receiver has 18 career catches. Doolin, I'm not taking a shot at them. That's just the truth. And for a team that has a very good roster but does not have a first-round pick, you're sitting there going, we need better wide receivers. We just got Matt Ryan. We've got a decent offensive line. We still need a left tackle. We've got an MVP caliber back. But we don't have an A.J. Brown. We don't have a big physical receiver that we know can dominate with the possessions, also dominate with the opportunity throws. We don't have a Terry McLaurin that can work the red zone basically as good as anybody in the NFL. If I'm the Colts, I'm making those calls to see how available they actually are.
The moment is now, too. They've added their quarterback. This is the time. You got to do it. Let's talk about the Packers, though, because they're another team with a huge need at wide receiver. Of course, Devontae Adams no longer there. What should their plan be, Dan?
Well, the Packers?
Yep.
I mean, the Packers have to get two pass catchers. They've got those two number one picks and two number two picks. They need two pass catchers. Now, I'm not saying just wide receivers. They can add a tight end. My instincts are telling me that since the Devontae Adams trade happened, they're more than likely going to a 12 personnel offense. One back, two tight ends. It's a little bit diversified from Matt LaFleur's system. They can continue to run their RPO offense, be run dominant, and play action game. I think that they need to get two pass catchers to truly become a legitimate Super Bowl contender in this draft.
I said this before, and this is the conundrum that you end with the Green Bay Packers, because I 100% agree with you, D.O., if you can get these two pass catchers. But remember, we also are operating in a window where they just gave their quarterback three-year, $150 million, and you're trying to figure out who is the most dynamic guy you can get to immediately help Aaron Rodgers. I'm with you on the long-term play. But if you're looking at it in this scope of the Green Bay Packers and you've identified a guy, I'm packaging and trying to get up and get that guy. If you think he's the determining factor between you having a prolific offense and winning a Super Bowl.
Think about this, Marcus. The Green Bay Packers have not used a first-round draft pick on a wide receiver or a tight end or running back since 2002.
Wild.
And now we're in an offseason where they essentially trade away Aaron Rodgers' favorite target because he doesn't want to be in Green Bay anymore. He wants to move on, and he gets what he wants. And now I think it's time for them to give Aaron Rodgers what he wants, which is some new targets, however they do it. Devontae Adams didn't want Green Bay's money. Maybe one of these other veterans who could be available via trade will want the Packers' money. Maybe it will be that they decide to go young and draft some of these young wide receivers, but it will be a shock if the Green Bay Packers didn't come out of this draft with at least one or two wide receivers early on.
Yeah, Swagoo wants some money. Swagoo can play receiver, too. And, guys, I will point out, in the NFC, the Packers are going to end up in the postseason. If you're a veteran receiver or somebody looking for a new home, you may want to go there. All right, we're just getting started on NFL Live with the 2022 NFL Draft just over a week away. Trayvon Walker is seeing the most dramatic climb in Todd McShay's draft. Why someone here isn't all the way on board. And quarterback Desmond Ridder seems to be gaining a lot of momentum. Dan is going to say some traits are comparable to a recent number one overall pick. We're digging into all that next. Keep it right here on NFL Live.
Ooh, I like that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And you look at Sam as your starting quarterback?
Sam is our starting quarterback, yes. You know, one of the things I've been working on is being better talking to you people. So, you know, announcing the starting quarterback here, I just put my foot in the mouth. So that wasn't something I should have said.
Oh, poor McAdoo. Mina, what do you think about this? He put his foot in his mouth trying to say that Sam Darnold's a starter there in Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not buying this for a second, or rather, I'm not buying the idea that this means Carolina is not drafting a quarterback. I am buying Ben McAdoo's commitment to changing his new hairstyle every time he lands at a new NFL team. It's like, you know, we forget where he was before. Just the master of reinvention is what I call him.
Oh, that's what you call a McAdoo.
You got problems, man.
Hairdo. Okay.
Just to slick it back.
That's a good one.
You know the man's
Giants
hairstyle?
Marcus
you,
got my
I
joke.
All
right.
I hear you.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of why the Giants are where they are.
Ooh.
We should have just put Joe Judge saying something stupid right after that.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, on that note, let's get back to the
unnecessary
draft.
Unnecessary shot at the Giants.
Trayvon Walker. I know. The poor Giants
God
got in the
bless.
Mix there. Trayvon Walker's rocketing up draft boards,
Strange.
Guys. Projected number 2 overall of Todd McShay and his recent mock number 3 overall by Mel Kiper Jr. And it's been quite the rise, as I'm saying, for Walker. So he was projected as the 27th overall pick in Todd McShay's first mock, which was released back in December. But Walker moved up to 16th in Todd's second mock after his impressive showing at the combine. And then now he's jumped all the way up to 5th. As it stands now, McShay has Walker going 2nd overall to the Lions. So Todd, as we bring you in here, why the big jump in the draft board there for Trayvon Walker since the season ended, and even more time has passed for these teams to figure out which direction they want to go?
First of all, he played his best ball in the playoffs, and he was dominant really in those final 2 games. And then you transition over to the pre-draft process. The combine was ridiculous. Let's just lay it all out here. Trayvon Walker, if you draft him number 1, if you're Jacksonville, or number 2 at Detroit, you're betting on the traits. And you're betting on what you see on tape and then what can be if you utilize him a little bit differently. 6'5", 272 pounds, left tackle length arm, 35 and a half inch arms. Ran a 4.51, which is stupid for a defensive end. Running backs would be thrilled with that time, but the vast majority of them. And you see on tape, he's so explosive as a player. But he was asked, you know the old term, like fishing with dynamite? He was asked to be the dynamite an awful lot and then let everybody else go in and get and make the sack or get after the quarterback. He was charged with just bulldozing up versus the offensive lineman and letting other guys do it. Now, he's got to work on his hand usage as a pass rusher. He's got to be a better finisher. But this guy has elite traits that you just can't find with any other player in this draft.
Ready, let me jump in here real quick. First of all, I do not know the saying, but I'm stealing it, Todd. Second of all,
you're not dynamite, though. Yeah, that's not really.
Do you recall a non-quarterback that had this kind of rise post-games, you know, into the spring and the combine workouts that has had this kind of rise that worked out in the NFL?
Say it, Todd.
This kind of rise is rare. I mean, there have been some wide receivers running in the 4.2s, 4.3s that have worked their way into the first round and have been mistake picks. I would go back, honestly, to answer your question, maybe 2013, Eric Fisher, just the way he worked out at the Senior Bowl and the offensive tackle position. But – But honestly, it is very rare for a non-quarterback to move up this much and during the pre-draft process. Mm.
Yeah. Just to set the table here a little more for you, Marcus, at first when you saw Trayvon Walker being projected top three overall, you're like, man, that is too high. But then you watched a little bit more film than you had already watched. Do you still think that top three overall is too high for this player?
Not in this draft. In this draft. And it has a lot to do with what Todd said. Yeah, there's some raw ability there. But you know who else was raw? I played with a guy by the name of DeMarcus Ware who was raw. Hmm. But he had long arms. He was fast off the ball. And he was a guy that just flashed every time you turn the game on. And we had this conversation on this show talking about Trayvon Walker. How is this rise ascending? And then, too, another point I want to make and reiterate something off Todd. He is not a guy that you have to draft for a particular scheme. And I don't know if people really understand the value that teams put on that from a defensive standpoint. But when you have a guy that you can plug and play in three or four different positions, that increases your value as well.
All right. Captain Buzzkill reporting for duty, as usual. It's very easy to see why Trayvon Walker is rising. I mean, the combine was absolutely insane. And it reflects what you see on tape, which is a rare combination of size and speed. I was struck by how good his run defense was watching him throughout the years, as well as how smooth he is in coverage at his size. Also, to Todd's point, I think a lot of the lack of pass rush production, just 9.5 career sacks, can be attributed to how he was used in the Georgia defense. That said, if he is drafted in the top three, he would have the fewest career sacks of any edge rusher taken that high since 2000, which is when the NCAA started tracking stats. I mean, this would be historically unprecedented. I hear names like Danielle Hunter thrown around, Odafe Owe, Rashawn Gary. None of those players were taken in the top 10. Danielle Hunter was a third-round draft pick. So to me, it's about value and the risk you'd be taking in drafting a player with incredibly high upside, but I think questionable floor.
Yeah, so just to reiterate what Todd said about him playing really well in big moments, in Georgia's two wins in the college football playoff, Walker had a combined 10 pressures, including a career-high 7 in the national championship game against Alabama. Ahead on NFL Live, Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray will be absent from voluntary offseason workouts. Why Marcus thinks this is a big deal, something we need to keep our eye on. That's next, right here on ESPN. We'll be right back.
Thought I was nearing the finish line. That's where you're wrong. Money to count on, I know I won't.
I first found out that I was having a baby when my girlfriend Claire told me. A couple months later, we were able to go down to Nippert Stadium at Cincinnati and be able to do a gender reveal. And that moment, I knew I was going to be a girl dad, and you know, it really just made me one of the happiest moments of my life. She was born on April 19th, 2021. She just made me the man I am today. It doesn't really matter what I do. Everything I do for her.
Fans are excited. It's time for some fun. Then a whistle, the kickoff, the game has begun.
You never know when those moments aren't gonna be there anymore, when she's gonna grow up and get too old for old dad. I never take those moments for granted and take every opportunity I can to be with her. Daddy loves you, Lil Lay.
Happy birthday, by the way, to Leighton Ritter. She turns one today, you guys. Happy birthday, Lil Lay.
Good dude. Happy birthday.
Oh, such an incredible story.
Happy
also
B-day, little mama.
Speaks to Desmond Ritter's maturity. You see what he's been through already in his life and the way that he is a great dad. Let's get to Desmond Ritter. He finished his college career with 44 wins. That's the third most by a quarterback in FBS history. A big part of that was his performance against the Blitz. Over his last two seasons at Cincinnati, Ritter threw 28 touchdowns, just one interception when he was blitzed. Those 28 TD passes led the FBS, as you might imagine. So, Dan, what does the tape specifically say about Ritter?
Yeah, he's phenomenal when it comes to operational space. A couple weeks ago, we did the quarterbacking, going on the line of scrimmage and getting in and out of protections. This is an example of him manipulating or operating in operational space. So it's going to be a really full progression read. This go receiver up top is a go route. Now, that's a pre-snap alert. If that corner was pressed with no safety help over the top and you want to take a shot downfield, that's an alert pre-snap, yes or no, take it. Now the progression comes to this. This tight end's going to run an out route. We've got a deep crossing route, and then we have a big post at the bottom of the screen. They are going to read 1 to 2 to 3. Now watch how Desmond Ridder goes about his business in creating that operational space. He's peeking to the right. Again, that go route is no longer available. And as that tight end runs that outbreaking route, that linebacker is going to mash. Okay, number one of my progression no longer is available. He's going to bring his eyes to number two. But as he brings his eyes to two, he's got this internal stunt. Now I know everybody, and I do too, loves when quarterbacks in this moment, they just take off, run, and it's awesome. But this is what it looks like to have operational space. I want everyone to really pay attention to his feet, because as these defensive tackles are going to close in on him, can you still remain a passer for when that progression of a deep cross or post becomes available? Watch how good this is. Shuffle, shuffle, his feet stay a passer, right? That is phenomenal. That's what it looks like to be an Alex Smith type of player. And as these guys are running at him, he's going to launch that big post downfield about 55 yards. Now, the back angle is really beautiful because you can see how his eyes match his feet. He catches the snap and he's peeking to the right. Again, when he peeks to the right, that linebacker matches that tight end on the out route. Here comes that pressure, and I love this instinct. As these guys wrap, the ball doesn't drop. He keeps the ball on his chest. And again, focusing on those feet to go with that shuffle, shuffle, he can remain a passer. As he does, he sees that crosser get cut by that safety. I want to take my shot on the big post, but you have to be ready for the moment. Right when that 11 gets his hands up, his feet are ready, throws a perfect ball to give this guy an opportunity right in between the hashes to go make a big play for his offense 55 yards downfield. So often we see players in that moment, they tuck the ball around, they take off running, and it looks great. It's just not something that you can hang your hat on for consistency. He's great at the line of scrimmage, but also just the remaining a passer and manipulating, handling the pocket is done at the highest level in this class.
Yeah, and something that really relates to the translation to the next level.
Absolutely.
Which I think is really important here, Mina. And one of the things that happens this time of year is a lot of these teams have more time to actually watch the film and really go back and analyze these quarterbacks, especially teams that need QBs. Why do you think Desmond Ridder is rising so much up these boards?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's because of what Dan just illustrated, which is when you dig into Ridder's tape, you see a quarterback who not only grew and developed over the course of his career every season, but by the end of it as a senior, became the best processor in this class.
Yes.
A willing and patient pocket passer who still gets the ball out quickly, is very adept at reading coverages, setting protections, big part of the reason why he's so good against the blitz, as you illustrated. He's kind of like your favorite quarterback's favorite quarterback. Indiana's my favorite quarterback, of course, because he does things at such an advanced level, even if the traits don't blow you away. I will add, though, I also think he turned some heads with his performance at the combine, running a 4.5 240. He wasn't asked to run that much in Cincinnati's offense, a few design runs throw in, but I think teams saw at the next level that is a trait that he can bring to the table that raises his ceiling.
Yeah, that felt like the moment when we really started talking a little bit more. Todd is my favorite quarterback, by the way. And Todd, the comparison between Ridder and Kenny Pickett comes up a lot, right? Given the games each guy started in college, the amount. Sorry, Dan. Why do you have Pickett, though, so much higher on your draft board?
There's really not that big of a difference, you know, when you watch the tape. I have Pickett at 21 right now. I've got Ridder at 32. And I've been preaching this whole past month that, like, there's not – everyone's talking about Pickett or Willis, Willis or Pickett to be the first quarterback. And these two guys are locked in. Well, I got news for you. There's not a big gap from Pickett down to Ridder. And there are some teams that I've talked to that think Ridder is the number one quarterback, that they have him as the number one quarterback on the board. So there's a lot of different opinions in the league. I'll say this with Ridder. His maturity and the way he's handled himself in interviews and one-on-one time with NFL teams is part of the reason why we're talking about a rise, if you will. His play, we all knew about it. They all studied the tape. But when you get with him and you see what he's been through in his life, the maturity that he has and how willing he is, he's a gym rat. He loves ball. It's 24/7. And they see that. Like, teams can't be fooled by that portion of it. And I think it's really come out. Listen, I love his tape for the most part, like 80% of it. There's 20% with the footwork and the accuracy that has to improve. But I would bet on this guy to wind up being a better quarterback in the NFL than where he winds up getting drafted.
You know, it's funny that Mina kind of talked about the combine and the athleticism, because when we talk about Kenny Pickett, I would actually say he was a little too reliant on his athleticism, his creativity, because he is such a good athlete. He constantly left clean pockets. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And Desmond Ridder is a little bit like Trevor Lawrence was last year, where he's such a good athlete. You want him to use it more. He's so ready and mechanically sound and fundamentally sound that there's moments where he's just like, hey, you are a big athlete. Just go take off and run and do create some stuff.
It was funny. We thought that would be a bigger piece in Cincinnati's game against Alabama in the college football playoff. And Ridder himself said that he tried not to rely too much on it because he wanted to prove he had more to his game. All right, let's get to lots of teams starting their offseason program this week. Adam Schefter, we begin with you. What do we need to know about who showed up and who didn't? Let's start in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson.
Well, he did show up, Laura, and this was his first day in uniform for the Browns, on-field drills, on-field work. He showed up there in the snow, so there's the first difference that he'll experience from Houston. But my understanding also is that if Cleveland hadn't traded away its first-round pick, that it would have been in the market for a quarterback potentially up high, but it traded that pick for Deshaun Watson. I think the Browns are happy to have him right now on the roster. While Watson was there, Baker Mayfield was not. No surprise there. Everybody expects that he's going to be moving on from Cleveland. I think the feeling is that his departure could come draft weekend when teams have more clarity. Other teams have more clarity about whether they will or won't draft a quarterback, what teams have an opening, and maybe one then is willing to trade for Baker Mayfield. And if they're not willing to trade for Baker Mayfield, a name that's come up is Jimmy Garoppolo, who's obviously still continuing to rehab his shoulder, not at the 49ers offseason program. He also is a candidate to be traded draft weekend, despite the fact that he still is rehabbing that shoulder. I think Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo are the two quarterbacks to watch during the draft. If there's a move to be made, it very well could come next week during the draft. And one other quarterback not present today, no surprise again, Kyler Murray, voluntary workout, didn't show, wants that new contract, not real happy with the organization. And so he will continue to train on his own, work out with wide receivers, do what he has to away from the team, not being a part of the offseason program, another player choosing to do things on his own, Laura.
All right, so as Adam said there, Marcus, it was expected that Kyler would do this, but do you think it's a big deal that Kyler Murray isn't there this week?
Yeah, I believe so, Boogie, and let me contextualize what I'm saying. It's because of the guys in the locker room. It's because of the guys that will show up for the offseason program. Now, obviously, we've heard about Kyler and his leadership and things that people have said about him. I don't know those things to be true. I've talked about his sideline demeanor is turn off sometimes when you look at him after things go awry. But I think this offseason and the rapport that you build with your teammates, obviously we know you want more money. Obviously we know you deserve money. But also showing up for the guys that are there. This has nothing to do, coming from me, with the Arizona Cardinals organization, has nothing to do with Kime, has nothing to do with Cliff Kingsbury. It all has to do with his fellow teammates and how they feel about going towards a championship and him not being there.
And Marcus, while we talk about Baker Mayfield being a candidate for a trade, Jimmy Garoppolo being a candidate for a trade, Kyler Murray is not a candidate for a trade. I don't expect the Cardinals to do anything with him other than to wait for him to try to come back to them, and the two sides can hopefully figure out a new contract.
Yeah, usually these number one overall picks who also happen to be quarterbacks, not candidate for trades if they can help it. Baker Mayfield, a different story. Much more on the way on NFL Live. Draft capital can go a long way for some franchise. So does your team have multiple picks in the first round? We're going to look at Kiper's latest mock, tell you what they could and should do. We'll give them the recipe for success when we return.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
NFL Live is going to the draft. We've got you covered live from Las Vegas, beginning April 27th at 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN. Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, Keyshawn Johnson, and more will be together to bring you next-level analysis and the latest news from the 2022 NFL Draft. You're not going to want to miss NFL Live, live from the NFL Draft. And don't forget, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. We're talking about more prowess for Dan Orlovsky there about what stays in Vegas. Of course, we'll be getting you ready for the main event. ESPN has every pick from Las Vegas. That's April 28th through 30th. It's also available on NFL Network, and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospects' journey to the draft all 3 days. Also on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Eight teams have multiple first-round picks in this year's draft, which would be the most entering a draft in the Common Era, which began in 1967. The Jets and Giants both own multiple top 10 picks, while the Lions will nearly bookend the first round, selecting second and 32nd. So we read and react now to Mel Kiper Jr.'s projections for some of these teams. Let's start in Detroit, where Kiper has the Lions taking Sauce Gardner, the cornerback, with the second overall pick. That'd be the highest used on a corner in the common draft era. Detroit addresses its secondary again with the last pick in the first round, where they select Georgia safety Lewis Cine. So, Dan, this draft plan, does it make sense for Detroit?
It does, because they're building a safe space for their next quarterback, and that guy is not the person that they should draft this year. They just had Matthew Stafford for a dozen years, and they were never capable of supporting him with a proper team to consistently have a winner. Now when they're taking these picks and they're building up their secondary, Jared Goff is still going to be capable to help them win some football games. They'll have a dominant offensive line. Lewis Cine from Georgia is a type of safety that I call get down. When you run near that human being, you better get down to the ground, because he will knock your face off. And I love the fact of Sauce Gardner as a talent. We'll get into who they should pick at number two. But I like the fact that they are being patient and building up a healthy roster so they have a capable football team. And then in the future, identify who's their special quarterback and make sure they have the proper team around him.
Yeah, Lewis Cine flashes on that Georgia film, which is hard to do with the rest of those defenders on that squad. Next up, let's get to Green Bay, where even after signing Sammy Watkins to a one-year deal last week, the Packers need more wide receivers. Yeah. So Mel has them taking Christian Watson with the 22nd pick that they acquired in that trade that sent Davante Adams to the Raiders. With the 28th pick, Green Bay adds to the interior of its offensive line, helping to protect Aaron Rodgers with Zion Johnson. Mina, should the Packers be happy if this is how it ends up for them next week?
Well, I certainly think they got to take a wide receiver. If they don't, there might be a statewide protest in Wisconsin. Marcus mentioned this earlier. They can't miss on wide receiver. They need a guy who can contribute immediately. And while Christian Watson has flashed some incredible traits, he was excellent at the Senior Bowl. Combination of size and speed is impressive. Lack of competition would make me a little bit concerned about taking him there, as opposed to trading up for a Chris Olave or taking Treylon Burks, who was still on Mel's board. As far as the other pick goes, yeah. Zion Johnson, incredible guard, really impressive. They do need O-line depth, but I would prefer to go George Karlaftis, who I think is a really good fit for that 3-4 at defensive end next to Kenny Clark, because with Za'Darius Smith gone, they need more pass rush.
I love it, Mina. All right, let's go to New Orleans, where the Saints acquired an additional first-round pick, of course, in this year's draft via their trade with the Eagles earlier this month. Mel has them taking offensive tackle Trevor Penning to fill the void left by Teron Armstead's departure to Miami. Three picks later, Mel has them adding wide receiver Jameson Williams. So, Marcus, no quarterback for New Orleans. You like the idea that they just stick with Jameis Winston and build out the O-line and his receiving core to help him?
I do, Boogie. I do. Obviously, protecting this blind side is the most important thing with the pending pick. Look, Kiper, he grees this with these two picks. And Jameson Williams being a guy that can take the top off of defense. I know he's coming off an injury, but no one seems concerned about that. And think about the quarterback you have as a signal caller. A big arm, a guy that can put the ball where it needs to be put with these type of dynamic receivers who can find space. Along with Michael Thomas coming back to work the intermediate area of the field, the middle of the field, and at times get him those one-on-one favorable matchups. This is Saints needs, but it also is an explosive player you potentially could get in Jameson Williams that could change the dynamic of this offense, because I think a lot of people forget that Alvin Kamara is still on the Saints roster. And if you got a guy that is taken off the top, he leaves area underneath, and that running back with the ball in his hands is as dynamic as they get in the NFL.
The Saints have been showing they consider themselves a big-time contender in that division, and I think they probably should. I'm also not sure that Jameson Williams is going to still be there at 19, so that's another piece of this. Let's get to the Eagles, finally checking in on them, where Mel has the Eagles taking Ohio State wide receiver Chris Olave with the 15th pick. Then later in the first round, Kuiper has N'Kobe Dean, the linebacker out of Georgia, making his way to Philly. Adam, remind us how the Eagles are trying to balance next week's draft with the 2023 draft.
Well, let's go back to the trade that they recently made with the New Orleans Saints, Laura, where they essentially traded 8 different picks over 3 different drafts to balance themselves out between this and next year. And I think that gives the Eagles the opportunity to take another good, long, hard look at Jalen Hurts at quarterback this year, see what they like, and if he wins the job and plays well, they can continue to go with him as the quarterback. And if not, they now have an extra first-round draft pick in the draft next year, which is expected to be deeper and better at the quarterback position. And so the Eagles essentially are kicking the can down the road, banking on the 2023 draft in Kansas City and waiting to see how Jalen Hurts performs this upcoming season.
Yeah, interesting, because Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, part of that 2023 class, there are some big-time names we'll be talking about next year. Maybe Jalen Hurts proves it, though. When we return, our analysts have some big-time questions, and Todd McShay has the answers. We're going to put Todd on the clock draft questions coming up next. Wait till you see what these guys and gals are asking Todd. We'll be right back on NFL Live. Our action-packed April rolls on Saturday on ESPN and ABC networks with the next German Clasico between Bayern and Dortmund on ABC at noon Eastern. And Tyson Fury putting his WBC heavyweight belt on the line against Dillon White at Wembley Stadium. That's on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. And the 120th annual Copa del Rey is on ESPN Plus. This one between Real Betis and Valencia. And the much-anticipated series finale of Tom Brady's Man in the Arena drops Tuesday night at 11 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Don't miss that one.
Good for now.
Ask Mel.
A little game called Ask Matt.
Todd, let me ask you a question.
Mel know damn well every year I'm asking about an LSU guy.
Is there another option for the Jets at that pick?
Blown away by the fact that Keyshawn wanted a wide receiver from USC.
Here's a guy you got to take the leap of faith with.
Do you have the Steelers there taking Malik Willis? How can he fill that void?
He's got a rocket arm. He's got that ability with his legs.
A 42-inch vertical jump. That's like jumping over me.
That's true, Matt.
So if you're looking for a quarterback to come in and start right away, he's your guy.
Let me ask you about real football. Defense.
You know, I got to say, we are biased toward this particular segment when we get to ask Todd or ask Mel. Today, Todd, you're up. You're on the hot seat. We got a lot of questions for you. Mina, you go first. What do you want to ask Todd?
Hi, Todd. First time caller, long time listener. So you've got
I come in peace, Mina. I come in peace.
Kenny Pickett. I'm taking Kenny Pickett, quarterback at 6. Panthers have obviously been looking for a quarterback for a while, but they've also been desperate to find a starting left tackle. And while they have improved their offensive line in the offseason, that remains a question mark. So my question for you is this. If they draft Kenny Pickett, ask him to start right away, are they setting him up in a position to fail?
First of all, we're going to need the questions to come in a little bit quicker if we're going to get to all these. Listen, I think that if they pick it, no matter which quarterback winds up going to Carolina, if they do take a quarterback at 6, it's a tough spot. They need more weapons on the perimeter. They need upgrade at left tackle. They need a coach that's committed and is going to be there for a long time. So it's a tough spot. I think Malik Willis fits better in terms of developing behind Sam Darnold. I don't know that rookie provides an upgrade over Sam Darnold.
Okay, Todd, make the answers faster too. I got one simple question. What is the separation between Walker and obviously Aiden Hutchinson? And with this ascension to Walker, where do you see that kind of neck and neck going before draft day?
Hutchinson is a finished product. He really is. And you drop him right in the NFL and he's gonna have the sack production. You saw last year's single season record at Michigan with 14 sacks. He's a leader. His ability to prepare is unparalleled for defensive linemen. So you know what you're getting with him. With Walker, it's more of a projection on the athletic ability. I think he's going to be a great player, and he excelled. Don't get this wrong. He excelled in what they asked him to do at Georgia, but he left a lot of sacks on the field too. So that's an area he's going to have to improve upon.
Todd, linebackers. Is there a linebacker in this draft that is going to be this year's Micah Parsons? Mm.
No, I wish. And I love the two linebackers that we're talking about, the off-the-ball linebackers, Georgia's N'Kobe Dean and Utah's Devin Lloyd. But Micah Parsons was from a different planet coming out. I mean, the explosion, the pass rush ability, the coverage ability, sideline to sideline. N'Kobe Dean didn't run a 40 because he's worried about running a 40 because the time doesn't match up with what you see on tape. I think he's a phenomenal player. He's one of the best 15 players in this draft. But he's going to fall a little bit, and I've even heard from teams maybe into the second round. So it'll be interesting to see with these linebackers. Wow. And Devin Lloyd, as great as he is in coverage and as a pass rusher, you're talking about 8 sacks and 4 interceptions this past year. He ran a 4.66. That's not like Devin Bush and Devin White, who ran in the low 4.4s.
Yeah, N'Kobe Dean, steal in the second round if that happens. All right, Todd, so I know that you want the Chiefs to trade up and try to get Jameson Williams, but let's say they don't do that. They end up looking for receivers in the second round. Mm-hmm. Give us a couple of names of some receivers that the Chiefs could be targeting that could be really big helps early on to this team this season.
Well, they got 12 picks. I see no reason why they don't move up, but if that's the case and they go defense in the first round, Sky Moore from Western Michigan. Just watch him get off press coverage and how great he is after the catch. He's an outstanding player who will go in the second round. Christian Watson could go in the first round from North Dakota State. He's a tall, long, vertical receiver. His tape, it's kind of a joke to watch because he's 7 yards behind every defensive back on vertical catches. But if he doesn't go in the first, early in the second, I think he'd be a great pick. And then you get beyond that, Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama would be another option as well.
Mm. All right, ding, ding, ding. We got a special call coming in for Ask Todd.
Who is it?
Adam Schefter. Adam, take it away. You got a question.
All right, Lauren, as you mentioned at the top of the show, we're 9 days away from the NFL draft. And Todd, I want to know who Jacksonville is going to go with at number one. And if you were the GM there, who you would go with at the number one pick?
These are the calls I make to you, Shefty, to get answers from you, not the reverse. I think ultimately it's going to be Aiden Hutchinson. I just think the leadership, they need a pillar type of franchise player. And Hutchinson's exactly that. And he's got the proven production on the field. I love Trayvon Walker. I think he deserves to be the second pick if Hutchinson's the first. I would not take a projection over a proven player, even though the projection has better athletic traits than Aiden Hutchinson.
All right, time for round two, everybody. Mina, lead us off once again for Ask Todd.
Yeah, I want to get back to N'Kobe Dean. Sounds like we both have a bit of a draft crush on him. You have him in your latest mock going to the Patriots, which I see as a fascinating fit. But my question is, when we think of the Patriots and the middle linebacker, we think of Dont'a Hightower, who's significantly larger than N'Kobe Dean. Does that concern you at all, his tweener size, and do you think it'll concern New England?
Yeah, of course it will. It's not their prototype, and I totally get this question, but it was punishing watching Hightower last year in the playoffs. I mean, he's gotten slower. It comes with age at that position specifically. They need a guy who can come in and be a difference maker and bring more speed to the field. I don't care what Dean runs in a 40-yard dash when he runs it for his friends and not for NFL scouts. Mm. I care what I see on tape. And Bill Belichick values football intelligence. I'll say this right now. N'Kobe Dean has the best football IQ of any defensive player in this draft.
Wow. Mm.
Todd, why Ekwonu over Neal, the tackles that you have on the board with these two top guys? Why Ekwonu over Evan Neal?
Great question, caller, because it's a tough answer. And Ekwonu is the best run blocker in this class. He's a better athlete, I think, even though Evan Neal, at his size, is a phenomenal athlete, very unique. But I see just basic technique work in terms of not two-hand punching all the time, not getting over his skis with Ekwonu can be coached. And if he is coached that, I think he has a chance to be a great pass protector in addition to the fact that he's an outstanding run blocker.
Don't miss Todd and Mel Kiper Jr. alternating pick mock draft. It's going to play out on your television screens tonight, 7 Eastern, right here on ESPN. Thanks to Todd. We got time for one more thing before we go, guys. How about Marshawn Lynch becoming a minority owner of the Seattle Kraken? He's driving the Zamboni. Guys, this is honestly what I need to inject into my veins every single day. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.
Mina's so happy.
There's a start.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.